Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. By Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software helping small business owners thrive. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, number 358, July 11th, 2018. We feature the Payne School Solar Car Team. Hello, everybody. It's K9EID, Bob, and I'm in our Illinois office tonight. And boy, what a very special show. So pay attention, and we hope that you you'll learn something, because we got some really smart people on here tonight, and it's not George Gordo and I, it's much younger, and I want you to pay attention. We'll be right back to them. George, how you doing? You been fighting any transmitter fires or what?
Not this week so far, but the week is still kind of young. I've been bouncing back and forth between temperature indexes that feel like they're near 100 degrees, and then a thunderstorm. And that's just the way it is this time of year. I've had a few calls from the transmitters, but they've come back up. So far, no problems. I'm planning on going to the swamp tomorrow, though, so we'll see how I make out on that one.
Okay. And Gordo is here. Gordo, I messed up because I want to introduce you and your guest, but then we got to come back to the solar car guys, and then I'll come back to you. So who's your guest there tonight, Gordo?
Bob, I have a very special guest from my alma mater, Chapman University. His name is Andrew, KI6 Alpha Delta Zulu. Andrew, how about saying hi to everybody and tell them what you do for video and ham radio at Chapman? Andrew?
Yeah, hi, everybody. My name is Andrew, and I attend Chapman University as a graduate student. I'm studying film production and with a directing emphasis. So I am a film director, and I'm on the show today to talk a little bit about a film that I shot and used ham radio in it.
So we appreciate that, Andrew, and always keeping ham radio right out there in front. You're going to hear more about Andrew's great shot. In fact, maybe we might even be able to run some of it in the near future right here. So, Bob, to you, and then we'll go with short shots in a few.
You got it. Okay. Nice to see you, Andrew. Well, we have some very special guests. These are teenagers that I met at a field day, and they were running around in a solar car. And I'm like, what is going on? Well, I found out. It was the Pena High School, Pena, Illinois, Central Illinois, and they had built a solar car. And I want to introduce them to you. There's the website. Let's do that real quick. We'll run through it. This is an incredible thing that they have been doing all year. So let's go in and see all of them. First of all, we have Connor. And by the way, most of them are hams. Connor is KD9LKA. Hi, Connor. And Luke is KD9LAT. And then we have Caitlin, KD9KTG. And Jessica, who is the navigator, and she's just studying up. So hello to all of you, and welcome here to Ham Nation. We want to know just a whole lot about what you've been doing. It's part of the STEM, science and technology, engineering, mathematics program. So Luke, why don't you take off and tell us a little bit about how it started and what you're doing and what's going to happen tomorrow.
Sure thing. Well, as you already said, we're the Pena Solar Car Team, and We started this program back in November of 2017. And before this program, we had two programs called Moon Buggy and Sea Perch. Moon Buggy was more of a mechanical program where we built a rover powered by a female and a male, and we took it down to Huntsville, Alabama at the NASA Flight Marshall Center. And we raced it against 90 high school and colleges teams. And that was very mechanically involved with mechanical schematics and such. And Sea Perch, with Connor and Caitlin, they were on that. And they were actually national champs. That it involved building underwater robots, RV robots, to be navigated through obstacles. And we kind of meshed those together with the technical and the electrical parts of Sea Perch and the mechanical parts of Moon Buggy and constructed this solar car. And we'll be racing it from Fort Worth, Texas, all the way to Palmdale, California, starting July 17th. Wow. So all the way through the desert, 7 days. We're going to be camping at least three of the nights. And we're going to leave tomorrow morning to head to Arkansas, and that's a stop. And then we'll head our way to Texas on the 13th. And then after that is a lot of meetings and 3 days of scrutineering, which is a play on words of scrutinize and engineering, where they take our mechanical drawings that you can see in the top left corner and our electrical schematics and make sure they relate back to the car and to make sure we're safe and it'll be able to conduct itself as an actual vehicle on the road. And we're excited.
Well, we saw a great picture. I think that might have been Caitlin and one of them welding. You guys and gals have done everything. There is no engineering firm coming. You've done it all, haven't you, Caitlin?
We've built it from the ground up.
Well, wow. We started with a golf cart. We used its leaf spring brackets and its shock absorbable terminal towers. And it's a differential trans axle. But we found out the motor was burnt and the motor controller was burnt up. So we had to replace those. And we based a lot of our designs off of a golf cart. And we just took chromoly steel, which is about 30,000 in thickness, a square inch. And we expanded the wheelbase by 13 inches. We pretty much cut a golf cart in half. Really, fundamentally. Wow. And that's what really got us started. And then what propelled us to this state is of having a finished car is Trina Solar's donation. High Tech Solar up in Michigan City, and they gave us Trina Solar panels. And we were really grateful for that. That's what really got us started. And these guys can tell you more about sponsorship and the building process, because I've done enough of talking.
Well, I understand that your mother has got her ham license also. Is that true, Luke?
She did it because she's going to be one of the lead cars. She's going to be a chase car, and we have to have part of the parameters of the solar car challenge is you have to use just radio communications. And this also explains how we're involved with ham radio and amateur operations. Most teams are probably going to be operated on the family channel, and there's 17 high school teams we're going to be competing against, and there's only about 16 channels on the family channel, and it's going to get crowded quite fast. So that's why we decided to pursue to get our technical license, Connor and I, but Caitlin, she moved on to her general license, so we have all right. More freedom of the frequencies.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Congratulations on that. That'll be wonderful. And I look forward to hearing so much more about this. Now, one of the things we need to talk about is you guys, you've kind of stood the brunt of all the bees and so on. We need to have people go to the site and perhaps add a little money to the coffers. Where would they do that? How can we contribute to the team right there, please?
Okay. Well, you have one of two options. You can right now, since we do leave tomorrow, that will be a post donation for next year of this trip. But instantly, we have Caitlin can tell you about the GoFundMe account.
We have a GoFundMe. It's just called the Paint a Solar Car Trip. So you can go there and you can donate. It's been up for quite a few months. But actually, recently, we just got a $1,000 donation from Invenergy, which we're super grateful for. It's going to help us a lot. But as Lucas said, we leave tomorrow, so there's not really any way that you guys can help us anymore. But we are going to continue the program next year, so that'll be used for next year's program.
Oh,
also,
we'll
there's our site, our Wheatley site, where you can donate.
We'll get on a little earlier on that deal. That'll be great, and make it happen. And if anybody's interested, there's a great site. It's solarcarchallenge.org. Solarcarchallenge.org. And this will give you some insight of what's going on. This is a big deal because how many schools are involved in this, Lucas?
17 in total in three different divisions. We got classic and then advanced, and then we have the solar car vehicle project, which they're allowed to use. It's a two-person piloted vehicle where they have permission to use lithium ion batteries and more efficient panels, and they also get to charge their propulsion batteries
it's meant to be more of a actual like simulating like a having a Tesla is
yeah.
what they're basically doing other than that division. They're basically building a Tesla without all the fancy features
and more seats. We're more of a race car.
We're newbies, yeah. So we don't get to be special.
Well, I'm just so excited to have met you and to know you, and we're going to follow you up. We'll get you on here a little more because it sounds like you're always involved in things, and that's really, really cool. So, Jessica, make sure they stay on the right the right route. You guys, let me know what's happening once in a while. If you get a time, you've got my phone number. Give me a call, and I'm really excited to hear how it's all going. And when it's all over, you have the seat and the camera right back here. We want to know how it all went. So we want to close for now. Is there anything final that you'd like to tell us?
If you'd like to follow us during the race, we will have a media coordinator. Her name is Trinity Carlisle. She can't go with us, unfortunately, because of her health. But she's going to be updating our Wheatley site daily, and you can see pictures and posts of how we're doing and the race and such. That site, yeah.
We also have a Facebook page that you guys can like that we're going to be uploading. Either it's going to be live updates, or it's just going to be just uploads of vlogs of every single day. It's called the Pana Solar Car Team. And that's just a quick like, and you'll get our notifications. And
that's pretty good. Well, congratulations, you guys. We're really, really proud of you. And I wish you luck. I do hope that that you come home with the big accolades and a trophy. Thanks so much to the Pana Solar Car Challenge team. What some incredible people. Gordon, when we were their age, we weren't thinking about things like that, were we, Gordo?
No, I don't think so. Although I was a shortwave listener to AM broadcast stations coming in Skywave at night. So many a night I stayed awfully, awfully late listening to KOMO. 1,000 miles away on AM radio.
That's great. Well, I know you have a special guest and you have a lot of things to do, and we got lots of other guests. We're going to hear from Bob Sullivan in a little while about the West Shum Vintage Boat Anchor Field Day. So George will be here, and Don will be here, and Valerie has got some really good news. So Gordo, kick it off and let's see what you got going in Costa Mesa.
All right. Well, we've had a busy week here in Costa Mesa with our local ham radio store, Ham Radio Outlet, doing a ham jam. And this is where they bring in a lot of outside volunteers to staff stations showing off ham radio. And speaking of ham radio, many of us in Southern California got this very large postcard saying that your ham radio gear is wanted if you have a whole bunch that you want to get rid of and not get cherry-picked. So next week, I won't be here, but I will be there visiting this wonderful ham store in Reno, Nevada, in connection with the Ham Radio convention, the Nevada convention, and we're visiting hamandhifi.com, and we'll show you a little bit more about all they do. But Victor, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and see what's happening in ham radio on the short shots. Well, there it was, the ham store packed. Everybody's inside where it was maybe 65 degrees, because outside the temperature this past Saturday, and that's Chip K7JA saying, hey, no problem. Outside temperature was 102 degrees. And this was the best part of the Ham Jam get together, was that there were so many stations on the air. And of course, you see that computer, and while there's a microphone, no microphone needed for the digital mode JT8. So it was a great time, FT8. It was a great time that Chip Margelli was having on the laptop working all over the world. So it was a great ham fest, you might say, but the best part were the outside demos. And that's a picture of Will with ICOM America, Clint Bradford, and Ashley, a brand new ham. And the first thing we did, and it's still going on right now, was to tune into the International Space Station and download all of their slow scan television. And just this little arrow antenna, and Clint made it happen. But, you know, Clint's going to be with us on August 1st. Now, he's a character. He's got a Tang container. Now, unless you're nice and old like us, Tang was what was one of the first soft drinks they put up on the International Space Station, or maybe it was a space shuttle. Yeah, that's right. And Clint is tuning in and making contacts, not with the space station, but with the different satellites. We had about six satellites coming over, and he made all six contacts. And look how he's got that little antenna mounted with a nice pistol grip, and he's running full duplex. But, you know, Clint says, wait until our interview right here on Ham Nation, and he'll say full duplex is not absolutely necessary for working the different satellites going over. And so he was doing that while Chip was doing FT8, and it was quite a show outside in the warm. Now, many of you have asked about the BioInno batteries, and that's Kevin. Kevin's a licensed ham. And I said, well, Kevin, we'd like to see what's inside those BioInno containers with those cells, the lithium iron phosphate cells. And there you are. He gave us a sneak peek. And these are well monitored electronically. And there's no problem of overheating or fires or anything like that. They've got backup circuits to back up. So, Kevin, thanks for being such a friend to Ham Radio and keeping us from having to lug those very heavy wet cell batteries. And next week, I'll be in Reno weekend after this coming weekend, Reno, Nevada, and we'll have plenty of our graduation certificates to issue to everyone. And yeah, it was hot out there, but hams are tough. The heat didn't bother us at all this past weekend. The hams have gear, and I always worry someday if I go QRTSK, what's going to happen to the gear? Well, they have an organization that's called Ham and Hi-Fi, HamandHifi.com, HamandHifi.com. They have a plan for evaluating Silent Key or just your old gear, paying a good price for it, and not cherry picking, but taking everything away. All those wires and the drawers that you and I have filled with stuff that we just won't get rid of, this group will actually come in and do it for you. So we'll have that report a week after next on Ham Nation right here, a tour of their facility in Reno, Nevada, when we're up there for the Nevada Ham Convention near Reno in Boomtown, Nevada. So if you got gear like this, get ready. Now, this is interesting, and we'll have more about this shortly. This comes from a ham that is lighting off a drone, and that drone is going to be carrying, says Robert, a long wire antenna, and he's worked out the concept that you see here. It's got a special 9-to-1 Balun, and it's a very lightweight one. The antenna is resonant on several of the ham radio bands. And the only thing we're worried about, at least I'm worried about, is when he gets it way up high, he's only got about, of course, 10 to 12 minutes to make his contacts before the drone runs out of juice. But I'm hoping that the HF at 50 watts, maybe 75 watts, doesn't get into the controller or the receiver in the drone. We're going to do a little testing at a low altitude to make sure. So thank you, Robert, for sharing that with us. Now, in August, we're going to have a very special guest here that is working with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary, a group that I work with. And we're going to see how important it is for those of you with the extra class ham license to go ahead and get your general radio telephone commercial license. So you'll be able to look at radio gear like this on 156, 10 megahertz higher than 146. 156 marine band, and the marine band for those passenger carrying vessels must be inspected by a GROL, and that could be you with just a couple of tests. And you make good money doing the small passenger vessel inspections, and the U.S. Coast Guard checks those inspection reports every 5 years. So if you're looking for a little side moolah, the U.S. Coast Guard is making it easy for us to do these inspections by putting the pressure on the small boat operators, and that is how it's going to go. So if you'll come back to the shot here, Andrew, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and we hope to see your great work through Chapman University. It used to be Chapman College when I was there. So, Andrew, KI-6 Alpha Delta Zulu, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
All right, and we're going to get some great tips from Andrew. So that's my story. I won't see you next week, but week after next, we take a look and see what's behind this big wanted poster. Wanted, ham radios, tubes, vintage audio, and to look and see their operation, go to www.hamandhifi.com, and you'll see what we'll be doing for our interview week after next. So, Bob, that's my story. Andrew, thanks for coming on board, and we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Eddie, well, that's great. Nice to see you there, Andrew. Thanks for coming aboard. Well, let's go talk to George because he's got something to talk about. ICOM radio, I betcha.
I do, Bob. And I've got some stuff to give away, too. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of contest season with these transceivers. The competitive edge you've been looking for, raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this flagship HF 50 MHz transceiver, the IC7851. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The IC7610 is the SDR every ham wants and just in time for contesting season. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receiver, dual digicell. IC7300 is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. This high-performance innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation. Register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For June, we were giving away the ID31A Plus, great little entry-level D-Star handheld. Well, we've got a winner. It's Richard D, KI6AUP. So congratulations, Richard. You're going to like that radio. And we've got another handheld to give away in July. That's going to be the ICOM ID 51A Plus 2 VHF UHF D-Star Portable. It's a dual band, dual watch, built-in GPS, extended D-Star coverage with terminal mode and access point mode, DV fast data mode, DV and FM repeater search function. The RSMS 1A free Android app is available, and more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and sign up and register to win. Who knows? We might be calling your name at the end of this month. Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Ham Nation. And, hey, don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. You know, it was 2 weeks ago. We didn't have a show last week because it was the 4th. But I mentioned these little bandpass filters here that you can get at DX Engineering. We bought some last year for field day and used them again this year. They really worked out great. You know, you put them in line between your rig and your antenna, and it narrows down. It only passes the band that you're working with. This particular one is 14 megahertz, 20 meters. So we had one for each band we wanted to work, and it keeps the other guys out on the other bands around you that have antennas in the same vicinity, since, you know, we're all working field day together. Stops that splatter. Really helps out a lot with that. I asked the question, where would you put this? Would it go between your transceiver and your tuner, if you're using a tuner, or would it go between the tuner and the antenna? And we had a winner on that, and it's Matt, KY4GPD. He said it goes between the transmitter and the tuner. That is correct, Matt. The reason that you have to put it, or you should put it between the transmitter and the tuner, is because this is a filter, you know, that is built up with capacitors and inductors. Not sure, I don't think there's any resistors in here, but it's tuned circuits. That's very dependent when you're building filters on the impedance that you're working with. So these things are built to be loaded into a 50-ohm load. If you've got it going into an antenna that, you know, maybe the impedance is 70 or 100 ohms, the filter's not going to perform the same. It's going to act differently. So that's the reason. If you're using a tuner with your transmitter and your antenna, put this before the tuner so that this filter will be looking into as close a 50-ohm load as possible. So congratulations, Matt. You're going to win a copy of Gary Drash, K9DJT's great book, Ham Radio is Alive and Well. A story on how he was out of ham radio for a lot of years. He was wondering if the hobby still even existed. He got back in and found out, it does exist, and there's so much to do today. So here's Gary's tale of rediscovery of amateur radio. You're going to enjoy that. For next week, well, I've got another book here, and this just happens to be Gordon West Extra Amateur Radio Study Guide to upgrade and get your extra class license, or Gordo will give you a general or a technician book, whichever one you want. But tonight's question's coming out of the extra class book here. And it's one, you can see all these flags. Gordo flagged these questions, especially for our audience here. And I think most of you, well, I think a lot of you will know the answer to this one anyway. Which of the following types of conductors would be best for minimizing losses in a station's RF ground system? Is it resistive wire, such as spark plug wire? Is it wide, flat copper strap? Or a cable with 6 or 7 18-gauge conductors in parallel? Or is it a single 12-gauge or 10-gauge stainless steel wire? So which one of those is going to be your best for minimizing ground losses on your RF station's ground system? If you think you know the answer to that, well, send it to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you might win one of Gordo's books. Somebody's going to win it. Might as well be you. And speaking of might as well be you, here is the man with all the news that's worth knowing this week, Don Wilbanks.
And a lot of information that's not worth knowing either. I'm wearing, I don't know if you can see it in the shot, but I'm wearing my Last Man Standing Amateur Radio Club shirt. My lower third's covering it up. But I don't know if you've noticed, there it is. If you notice it on Facebook, the KA0XTT Facebook page is back up. And John Amadeo is posting again as Mike Baxter, KA0XTT. They're getting the sets built up, and they're getting ready to install the antennas. So the Last Man Standing station will be back on the air. And I know that, man, there's been a lot of us that have missed that show, and we're glad that it's coming back to Fox. And we're going to get a chance to talk to the studio again. So if you missed out on that before ABC canceled it, it's you're going to have a chance. So that's really good news. So check all that out on Facebook. Let's get into the rest of the news of the week now from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2123, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 11th, 2018. The FCC has settled a four-year-old interference case with a ham in Pennsylvania. He's paying a hefty fine and losing some privileges.
A North Huntingdon, Pennsylvania ham operator has agreed to pay a $7,000 fine for creating interference on the amateur radio bands, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. The government announced a settlement on July 3rd with Brian Crow, K3VR, dating back to the government's charge that on March 14, 2014, he interfered with other radio amateurs and failed to identify himself with a call sign. A press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office also noted that the settlement reduced his operating class to technician for the next 6 months. According to the FCC, if no new violations occur, his amateur extra operating privileges will be restored. An FCC press release called the fine, quote, a substantial payment for an amateur operator, end quote. Brian Crow has held an amateur radio license since 1976. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
It's less than a week to go to WRTC 2018. The World Championships of Amateur Radio officially key the rigs on July 12th, and the organizers need your help.
In order to test the mettle of the 63 two-person teams, they need you to call as many of the WRTC stations as possible. In return, there are awards to be won, along with the respect and thanks of the organisers. Once you've worked all the stations, do you want to stay involved in the competition? Well, you can, through watching the real-time online scoreboard, the daily video news programmes, the live-streamed opening and closing ceremonies, but please, just get on the bands and keep calling until you get through to the stations. The call signs of the stations will be announced during the live-streamed opening ceremony on Thursday, as well as being posted to the event website in plenty of time for the contest start on Saturday at 1200 UTC. Full details are at wrtc2018.de. This includes links to the live streaming videos, daily TV info programs, and the online scoreboard. This has been Ed Durant, DD5LP.
There's NASA in the United States, the European Space Agency in Europe, and now a town of 20,000 people in Nova Scotia has their own space agency, of sorts.
The Annapolis Royal Space Agency, or ARSA, is a high school group at the Annapolis West Education Center that launches high-altitude balloons into near space. Like many others, the group gathers data and video and sends it back to Earth using ham radio. The Annapolis Valley Amateur Radio Club joined in to provide the know-how for APRS tracking. Their latest flight was on June 27th and went amazingly well. They reached a peak altitude of 31,567 meters, or 103,566 feet, before landing in just 3 hours. The group feared an ocean landing like their last launch, but luckily they missed the Atlantic by about 300 meters, or that's 984 feet. The payload was retrieved the same day as the launch, which was immediately after the school's graduation ceremony. Now these students can truly say that graduating high school was out of this world. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Finally this week, Newsline is beginning its 42nd year. On June 29th, 1976, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Jim Hendershot, WA6VQP, and Robert Sudock, WB6FDF, produced and presented the very first Westlink Report, later rechristened as Amateur Radio Newsline. We're still here, carrying on as Bill did before he left us on June 11th, 2015. We hope you can join us at the Huntsville, Alabama Ham Fest in August for the presentation of the 2018 Young Ham of the Year Award, now in its 31st year. The award was Bill's passion and pet project. We renamed it in his honor, and we would be honored to see you there. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Andy Morrison, K9AWM, Ed Durant, DD5LP, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
We have one, maybe two solar storms that are on their way to Earth, and a new region that's rotating into Earth view has already said hello with flare. Those stories and more in the news this week. Space weather this week really picks up. We've had a lot of activity near central disk. It started with an emerging region that fired a flare, and then that triggered two filament eruptions. You can see the first filament eruption in Earth's strike zone, bam, right there. That's headed off to Earth. And then the second one, bam, right there. Now, the second one may have only partially erupted, and if so, we've got a kind of a 1-2 punch. They're both headed off towards Earth, and we think the impact will be right around July 9th. But that's not the only story. We have a returning region that's coming from the sun's backside, and it's not even fully in view yet, and it's already fired off a C-class flare, which is brightening our day. So all of us amateur radio operators and emergency responders, we can look forward to a boosted solar flux that's going to enhance our radio propagation easily over the next couple weeks, and we'll be watching this region very closely to see if it's going to grow into an M-flare player. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see since about the last week in June, that's when the X-ray flux started to die down. This is because region 2715 was rotating off of the sun's west limb and onto the backside. Now, with that X-ray flux dropping, the solar flux also drops. So since about the 26th, we've been dealing with really poor radio propagation on the amateur radio bands, and it's continued that way easily through the beginning of this month. And only since about the 5th do we see that X-ray flux begin to rise again. That's because of this new region that's not even in Earth view yet. You can see that big C-class flare that it popped right there. That actually is an eruptive flare, so this region may actually be a solar storm producer. That's one of the reasons why we're so excited about this region. As it rotates into view, we're going to be keeping our eyes on it. But the nice thing is that solar flux is rising right along with the X-ray flux. So as amateur radio operators and emergency responders, we are going to be enjoying some decent propagation. We're going to be back into the marginal conditions, and that should last possibly for the next 2 weeks. Switching to your solar storm conditions, despite having a spotless sun for nearly the past 2 weeks, we've actually seen a bit of activity. Back on the 26th, we bumped up to storm levels for a short while, and some aurora photographers got some decent shots before things began to settle down. Now, since then, we've seen unsettled conditions and quiet conditions kind of bumping around. But then on the 5th, we actually got hit again by a stealthy solar storm that popped us up to storm levels for a very short while before fading back down. And now we're at unsettled conditions, but this isn't going to last because we have those two solar storms that are en route that should hit us on the 9th-ish, and that could easily bump us back up to active conditions, possibly even storm conditions. And although the solar storms as of late have not been all that long-lasting or all that strong, some dedicated aurora photographers have managed to capture some beautiful shots, like this in New Zealand. And even fighting the midnight sun in Canada, some people got some gorgeous shots in Manitoba and in central Alberta. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what you can tell immediately is that the backside of the sun is a lot more active than the front side right now. That huge bright region in the middle of the sun, that's the region that's just about to rotate into Earth view. And it is, as you can see, it's changing a lot. It's firing off flares, which usually means it's pretty unstable. So we're going to be very interested watching it as it rotates into Earth view to see whether or not it could grow into an M-flare player. But even still, it is what's going to be boosting the solar flux for us for the next couple weeks. And so us amateur radio operators and emergency responders should enjoy some marginal radio propagation easily over the next 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. And then after that, you can see there's another bright region that's going to be following the first one and maybe even a third bright region. So it looks like we're going to have some decent solar flux easily over the next maybe 3 weeks. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the hit from those 1-2 punch from those two Earth-directed solar storms, but remember these are expected to be pretty weak. So at high latitudes, NOAA is expecting active conditions with a decent chance of a minor storm, but at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled to active conditions with a much smaller chance for a minor storm, and this should last from the 9th into the 10th, and then probably dying down easily by the 11th before things kind of go back down to quiet conditions once again. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything, of course, is still in the green when it comes to solar flares, but we do have that new region that is rotating into Earth view off of the sun's east limb. The nice thing is that it's boosted the solar flux back up into the marginal levels for radio propagation. So as amateur radio operators and emergency responders, we should really enjoy this. Now, the other nice thing is that we actually have a couple more regions that are going to be rotating into view shortly thereafter, so we could enjoy this propagation boost easily over the next 2, dare I say it, 3 weeks. It'd be fantastic. So the space weather this week is really exciting. We have two solar storms that are en route to Earth that could hit us around July 9th and 10th, and it could bring aurora views down to high latitudes. So your aurora photographers, especially in the south, you could be in for some good viewing. Now, your aurora photographers in the north, you're dealing with the midnight sun right now, so that could make aurora viewing a bit tough for you. Now, on top of that, we have a returning region that's rotating into Earth view off of the sun's east limb, and that may make you GPS users a bit nervous, but this region isn't really firing any strong flares, so your GPS reception should be okay, but just remember around the dawn dust terminators, it could get a little bit glitchy. Now, that same region is actually really good news for us amateur radio operators and emergency responders, as it's boosting the solar flux up into marginal levels, and with a few other regions that are going to be rotating in to Earth view right on its heels, this could boost the solar flux for us easily over the next 2 to 3 weeks, possibly. So, enjoy. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always good stuff from Dr. T. And yes, she does have her ham license, and I don't have it written down in front of me, but someone in the chat room will post it or already has. Now, you notice that she recorded that on Sunday the 8th, so a little bit of dated information, but she did send me a direct message via Twitter. So if you don't follow her on Twitter, shame on you, you really should, at Tamitha Scove. She tells me, just so the storms I talk about in the video have hit Earth over the past 2 days, but they're weak and actually helping to boost radio propagation sporadically. So that's the kind of updates that you can get from her on a daily, sometimes hourly basis on Twitter. So you really need to follow her and check out that spaceweatherwomanstuff.com. We're going to talk about some stuff with Central Electronics coming up in just a little bit. But first, I want to talk to you about buying a home because, well, it's important. You got to have some place to live and you need a nice yard for your tower, right? So because of rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home these days. And quite frankly, it can cause a whole lot of anxiety in folks. That's why Quicken Loans is doing something about it. They're calling it the power buying process. And it's pretty cool how it works. Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, and your credit in less than 24 hours to give you a verified approval. What does verified approval mean? It means it gives you the strength of a cash buyer. That's what it means. And once you're verified, you qualify for all their new exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, they'll lock up your rate for 90 days while you shop. Here's the best part. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate also drops. Either way, you're a winner. It's the kind of thinking you would expect from America's largest mortgage lender, right? To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/hamnation. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records, equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. RocketMortgage.com/HamNation. And we thank them so much, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, for their support here with Ham Nation. And I always love this time of year because we talk about Field Day, and Bob always talks about West Shum and Central Electronics and all that stuff. And I just can't wait for this next segment, Bob.
Well, thank you, Don. I wish you could be with us. It's quite a different Field Day. It's all on its own, not held with the regular Field Day, but it's held on West Shum's 28-acre farm down in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And I was very fortunate to spend a couple where he was living. And he's the man that brought single sideband to ham radio. So it was fascinating to spend time with him. And we have all kinds of interesting people. One of the most interesting is with us, and that's Bob, W0YVA. Robert, are you there? All right. You can notice all that good gear behind you. Yeah. How long have you been doing the Central Electronics gear? And tell us a little bit about your background in Central Electronics in general.
Sure thing. Well, one of the things that I really enjoy is vintage gear. I grew up with tubes, so that's my engineering background. Start restoring Central Electronics equipment many years ago. It's obviously intriguing gear, the very beginnings of single sideband, and dealing with this stuff is just amazing. It's been a lot of fun restoring it and bringing this old gear back to life. It'll be great fun to see you in a week or so down at Storybook Farms, where we have the sixth annual CE Boat Anchor event. This is a brainchild of Nick Tusa, K5EF, who was great friends with W9DYV, Wes. I want to take this opportunity to invite anybody that's interested in Central Electronics gear and specifically boat anchors in general. There's going to be a lot of interesting folks giving presentations, not to mention the fact that, as you indicated, it's kind of a special ham fest. It's held at Storybook Farms, which is a beautiful, beautiful facility. We have a number of acres for tailgating and so forth. We have a lot of information on the CE website, which is a good way to find out what we're doing and get details on the event. And there it is. I'm glad you just put that up on the screen. And that has all the information that people might need that are interested in attending our event. It's really great fun. The site is ce-multiphase.com. I invite everybody that has an interest in this old gear to come visit. I think you'll have a great time.
Well, one of the things that we enjoy most is that some of the guys, you included, that give us workshops on how to restore, how to make things happen when they're not happening, and just in general, a lot of good information about vintage gear. And that's hard to find these days at regular Hamfest, but they specialize at the event on vintage gear, and there'll be a lot of it. There's a lot of fellows bring in vintage gear. The Pine Board Project will be there also, and we've got you'll see gear at that event that you probably have never seen, very rare things. And that's, Bob, I think that's the most interesting thing to me, to see the rare things there.
Absolutely, and there's always it's always a surprise what people bring to this event. That's worth the drive all by itself. But in addition, like you said, there's an awful lot of good information that a lot of really a lot of experts have knowledge that they're very generous in relating to an audience that is pretty interested in this stuff. On the website, there's a list of the presentations that we have so far, and it it includes a lot of very interesting vintage gear, Collins Radio, of course, naturally Central Electronics, histories, details on the companies and on the equipment, in addition to practical information, restoring and so forth. Absolutely, it's a unique opportunity to gather an awful lot of information in a short period of time.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed all of my visits, and I'm looking forward to this year. You might want to, while you're poking around with your mouse, look up Storybrook Farms in Jonesboro, Tennessee. Storybrook Farms. That's Wes Shum's daughter and her husband, John. They have a bread and breakfast there now, and it's an amazing place. It's so beautiful, and we're going to hang up a bunch of antennas out in the field and all kinds of stuff. But we look forward to being there, and I really look forward to being with you, Robert, and we'll just have fun with tubes and high voltage and respect the high voltage. And what else can I say? It's all about making fun. And boy, do we have fun there, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to it as usual. Looking forward to seeing you again too, Bob. We will have a 2-meter talk-in, 146.52, I think. And we will have a couple stations on the air both days. So, yeah, come one, come all. It's getting bigger every year. This is the sixth year that we've done this, and every year it gets bigger, and it's quite a unique event.
I'm sorry, I'm not down in my home where all my pictures are, but it's the only ham fest that I've ever been to in my entire life that has a large white tent, the kind they use in weddings, and they have a chandelier. I think there's two chandeliers in that tent.
That's right.
I've never seen a ham fest with this kind of class. What do you think, Bob?
It's a very high-end ham fest, absolutely.
It's a heavy ham fest, too, because all these radios weigh 100 or 200 pounds. Thanks for your time. Thanks so much for being here. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Be down there with Nick Tusa and the group. So anybody that's interested, you have the website there. And we'll see you in Jonesboro, Tennessee, a beautiful part of this country. We'll see you there. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Pleasure to be with you, Bob. Take care. 73.
Oh, good friend, Robert. And boy, can he restore radios. Oh, they look like they came out. No, they look better than they came out of the factory. Well, we have to look over and see what's going on up north here, because Valerie's got some very interesting information about the WRTC. How are you doing, Valerie?
I'm doing good. Thank you. That was pretty cool. Robert Sullivan, off to the right of his microphone, the Signal 1 transceiver in that Alpha 77, Jerry had those radios, Robert, and brings back a lot of memories for him. He's probably made 100,000 contacts on that radio over there.
It's great.
So, anyway, big week this week. Sorry if I'm losing any of my feed. My internet's been doing a little weird thing tonight. But big week. WRTC, it's finally here. It's only here every 4 years. So let's jump right in and see what's going on this weekend with WRTC and the IARU HF World Championship.
This Saturday, starting at 7 a.m. Central Time, starts the WRTC 2018 Championship. Now, this only happens every 4 years, and that's why it's penned the Olympics of Amateur Radio. And this year, it's in Germany. So how do you get to be an Olympic competitor in this WRTC event? Well, for a set period of time, every time you enter a contest, you get so many points, depending on how well you do. Now, it's also weighted depending on whether you enter as a single op or multi-single or multi-multi and things like that. And then you gather up so many points throughout that course of the term. So, like, if I look in my call area, there's all the points for everybody in my area after competing in contests. And you see me there. I'm number 29. Now, look to the right, and it's going to show you how many competitors are able to compete from each of those different call areas. And there's a list of all the competitors for this weekend's WRTC. And that's quite a lot of teams. There's 70 teams, two hams to each team. And you're not going to be able to tell who they are because the WRTC is going to assign each two-ham team a special call sign. So you might see a Delta Lima 1 Alpha, Delta Lima 1 Bravo, Delta Lima 2 Alpha, Delta Lima 2 Bravo, etc., something like that. And they're not even allowed to let anybody know what their call sign is to try and maintain anonymity and try and keep the competition as equal as possible so it's not a popularity contest. And you may recognize a familiar call or two in there. There's Tim Duffy and Sandy DL1QQ that will be competing. Now, to keep it a level playing field, they're all going to be stationed at a different area with the same sort of geographic topography, with the same kind of tents. They get to pick their own radio and their own software. They only get to use 100 watts, and they all have to use the same antenna. And that makes it a level playing field, so operator skill comes into play. So how can you help them out? Well, get on the air and try and give out as many QSOs as you can to these competitors. They had to travel a great distance and give up a lot and really compete hard to compete in this event. Now, to make it more fun for you, WRTC has put together a fun way for you guys to earn some different certificates or awards. If you go to their website, WRTC2018.de, like Delta Echo, hit the Activities tab and go and click the Work Doll WRTC Award, the WRTC Sprint, who can work them all the fastest, the most WRTC stations or QSOs worked, the Assistant Judge Award, and the Distance Challenge. Now, the contest hasn't begun, so they're just testing things out there and letting you know how it's going to look. And another cool way to keep up to date on the latest action at WRTC is to tune in to 13.860, just below the 20-meter band. And they're going to be broadcasting in English all about what's going on at WRTC. So make sure you go ahead and listen to that for a little bit. Now, since it's the Olympics of ham radio, the judges are really going to be scrutinizing their logs. And one way to help them is as soon as that contest is over, send them your logs. And then they can use that to compare to their logs to make sure they're valid QSOs. But we can't let them have all the fun. So you want to compete too. So enter the IARU HF Championship, which is at the same time along with WRTC. Different set of rules. So make sure you read the rules for IARU and not WRTC. And here they are. So it starts at the same time as the WRTC, Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Central, and goes 24 hours till Sunday morning, 1 minute before, just at before 7 a.m. Central. Now, this one's open to all six bands, 10 through 160, and you can do CW and sideband. Now, your exchange is going to be your signal report and your ITU zone, not your CQ zone, your ITU zone, which I'll show you in a little bit. So you're just going to give your call sign, your signal report, and I'm in zone 8. Now, you may be working in HQ station. If you do, they're not going to give you their ITU zone. They're going to give you their IARU Society abbreviation, which is usually a bunch of letters. Now, if you work somebody in the same ITU zone, you're going to get 1 point. You work somebody in a different ITU zone, you're going to get 3 points. If you work somebody in a different ITU zone who's on a different continent, now that's going to be 5 points. So the further you work, the more points you get. Now, everybody, you can work anybody, and you can work everybody per band, per mode. So since we have six bands, two modes, you can work somebody as much as 12 times. Now, this weekend, we're going to be NU1AW Portable 9, so you can work us up to 12 times. And we're in HQ, so we are an extra multiplier as well. Now, here's the different ITU zones. Now, that's 90 ITU zones, so 90 possible multipliers, as well as here's all the HQ stations. Now, there's only two HQ stations in the U.S., and we're going to be one of them, NU1AW Portable 9. So make sure you work us, as well as all the other HQ stations and the competitors in WRTC. Well, WRTC is going to have their own leaderboard. Well, we're going to have our own leaderboard. If you go to cqcontest.net and register and set up your logging software to automatically set your send your scores to the live contest score server, we can have our own horse race too. Now, if you missed my how-to video on how to set up your logging software to automatically submit your scores to the live contest score server, click on that little video button at the top there, and that actually takes you to my YouTube channel with my instructional how-to set it all up. So it's a big weekend. We got the WRTC, so get on the air, work those guys, work in the IARU. We're going to have a ball being NU1AW Portable 9, and I hope to see you on the air.
And it is going to be a big week. We're doing a cool thing here. I didn't have time to kind of put slides together for it, but K9CT is a big contest station east of or west of us, and they're going to be doing NU1AW Portable 9, and they're going to be doing the CW portion. And here at our house, we're going to be doing the sideband portion. So between the two places, we're going to have 20 operators going, hopefully three full-time stations here. I think Craig's going to have four full-time over there. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. But we did this cool thing. If you guys use N1MM, it has that networking in there. If you pull up the network status on your N1MM, it'll automatically look for other computers on that same Wi-Fi or network that have N1MM up with that same contest up, and you have to have the same version and things like that. But and it sees them and puts it all together and assumes you're all working together. So all three stations automatically, when the guy behind me puts a cue in the log, I see it on my screen too, and he sees all mine, and we're all combined. But since we're combining with K9CT, who's outside of Peoria, we worked it out where we got some forward state-facing IP, static IP addresses, so that we could link their station with our station. So the minute they enter a QSO, we see it in our log here as well, and we can talk to each other with little notes right from our screen while we're operating. So kind of a cool feature that N1MM has, and you don't need to use a VPN to do it, and I'm really excited about having that go in real time and being able to talk back and forth real time. So pretty cool stuff. N1MM is just wonderful software. Love it. So hopefully you guys are going to get on the air and try it out. Try your CW, try your phone, get on the air and help those guys out. Maybe you'll work Sandy and Tim and everybody else out there. And it's going to be a good contest. Looking forward to it. So that's all I've got for this week. So, you know, you probably know this, but I am an accountant, and I've had people come to me before and they asked me to clean up their books for them. And I've actually gotten boxes of just receipts and paperwork. And it's just crazy how much work it involved to try and backtrack and do all that. But why do that when you can get some really cool software like FreshBooks? So take it away, Don.
You're a lion, girl. I'll tell you that right now. And FreshBooks, by the way, oddly enough, coincidentally enough, is one of the sponsors of this episode of Ham Nation. You can streamline your business operations with FreshBooks. It's easy to use cloud accounting software, so you don't have to keep Valerie on your speed dial. It's built specifically for you, the small business owner. You can quickly access accounting reports in the FreshBooks dashboard, send professional-looking invoices in seconds, keep tabs on your business no matter where you are with the FreshBooks mobile app for Android and iOS. And FreshBooks automatically connects to your bank account and updates expenses daily. Import expenses in bulk or take a picture of a receipt, upload it, and let FreshBooks do the rest. Man, that's easy. Manage team member rates and add team members as business partner, basic employee, or contractor, depending on which permissions you want to grant each team member. Very powerful software. Create proposals with rich text context and images, request your clients' e-signature as they accept proposals, And there is an other income thing here where you can use revenue streams graph to know exactly where your invoice and non-invoice revenue, your online sales and ads, is coming from, so you can accurately plan for growth and make informed decisions about how to diversify. And with FreshBooks, there's absolutely no need to chase clients around for payments. Accept online payments directly from your invoice and get paid an average of 2 times faster. You can see sent, viewed, paid, and overdue invoices. That's important because you can call your guy if you want to and say, hey, I sent you that invoice. Did you see it? Oh, no, I didn't see it. Oh, well, FreshBooks says you saw it such and such and such a time. I don't know if you'd actually want to get in their face about it like that, but you can. And you can easily import clients from a CSV file with just a few clicks. Bill for time by client and by specified project. Send invoices, estimates, and proposals in multiple languages. The new Microsoft Outlook payments integration into FreshBooks allows users to view and pay FreshBooks invoices regardless of what device they view it from. And if your credit card is registered with Outlook payments, you can pay in one click. Join the 24 million people who have used FreshBooks to painlessly send invoices, track time, and capture expenses, and get back to doing what you love. Try FreshBooks free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/HamNation. Enter HamNation in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/HamNation. And, of course, we thank FreshBooks for their support of HamNation. And we thank Amanda for her support of the chat room. And we thank you for sending your questions to Amanda in said chat room. And now why don't we just go and see what Amanda is doing with the chat room?
Well, I'm chatting, of course.
Obviously.
I know, right? That's so weird. I do have some announcements to make and stuff, but we have some really compelling video that I would like to show from Colorado during these wildfires that have been going on here. And yes, I have been busy with the wildfires. I know I could do a whole segment on them. So, Victor, you're going to show this video. You guys are going to freak out. This is crazy. Look at that tower in the background. Guess what, you guys? I found out who it belonged to today. I just started chatting with the son. That tower is from an SK. His name is Carl. His call is W0RPX. But his son doesn't live too far away. And I found out who it was by going to QRZ and looking in the county for all of the hams. And I picked out the one that had the most lookups, figuring that they were probably the biggest DXer in the county. And it turns out I was right. And he said, yes, I know whose tower that is. And he sent me to Carl's son, Prentice, and his call is K0VXP. So, Prentice, thanks for giving me the info. By the way, the house survived. The tower survived. Some of the neighbors were not so lucky, but amazing footage. And there's not words. It was amazing. I'm glad it lived. And Prentice says, well, we actually have a plan to take down that tower soon since my dad's no longer there using it. So, Prentice, I hope you put it up in your backyard. All right. Some announcements. We have the Alamogordo Amateur Radio Club in New Mexico hosting their Ham Fest on September 1st at Otero County Fairgrounds. Not only that, we have the Indianapolis, Indiana Ham Fest July 13th and 14th at the Marion County Fairgrounds. Hope you guys can make it to those. I do have a question for you, Val. We know that Baker Island was just on. Give us your bragging rights. What were your contacts with them? How many did you make?
19?
14.
14 band slots.
What?
Yeah, I can give my list here.
Every band except 6 and 10.
Yeah, I missed 6 and 10, but I got 12, like 2.5 hours after sunset. That was crazy. And right after I worked him, he worked K9 CT. So it was dark out and I got him on 12 FT8. So that was pretty cool. And then I did want to mention, Victor, I think I gave you that website. I'm going to be at Ham Holiday at the end of this month. If you can pull that web link up, there you go. July 27th and 28th in Oklahoma City. Jerry and I are going down. We're looking forward. Jerry's also going to be giving a presentation on de-expeditions at that fest. So we're both going to be there. I'm the keynote speaker Friday night. Jerry's going to be speaking on Saturday. So hope to see a lot of you guys there in person. And so back to you, Amanda. But before, I have a question for you. Did radio take a bite out of your microphone or were you hungry?
Oh, I usually turn that around. Yeah, it actually was radio. I take it off when I'm working the regular HF. And oh my
was
gosh,
that radio?
He did. Yes. Yes, it was as a puppy about, it was about a year ago. He did take a chunk out of it. Funny. Thank you. And Jerry, I hope you worked Baker Island just as much. My only bragging right was I worked him on 20 meters on phone and the first call I got through, but that's it. I got so busy with fires, I didn't get a chance. Don, what about you? Did you work him at all?
No, I did not. I didn't have a chance. I've just been so busy, I rarely even get a chance to turn on the radio. But I do want to mention the Ham Holiday. That's a great ham fest. They had me as a guest there last week. So you don't have very big shoes to fill, Valerie. But I do want to talk about a ham fest coming up next week, or actually not next week, but the weekend after. Not this weekend, but the next weekend, the 20th, I think it is. It's the Slidell, Louisiana ham fest, W5SLA.net. Whiskey 5 Sierra Lima Alpha.net. They're having their ham fest, and that is going to be July 21st. So looking forward to going to that. That is the ham fest that Tyler got his license at last year. So I want to give a big shout out to the Ozone Amateur Radio Club. I usually go and help with their VE testing. So there you go. Back to you, Amanda.
Thank you. I have one more question, and this is from Chum K6. No, excuse me, KC6RUM. He wants to know, is there some kind of secret club that I need to get into to be able to help my community with radio communications? Yes, it's called Aries. And yes, it's not a secret club, though. Go to the ARRL website and fill out their application. But pay attention, because right now ARRL is going through some changes and they want to require NIMS for most of their Aries members. What is NIMS, you ask? That is the FEMA ICS courses that you need to have under your belt. Please begin with 100, 200, 700, and 800. Those are going to show your served agencies that you mean business and that you understand their chain of command. It's very important these days to go through those. And if you want to be in the higher levels of Aries, then you would go through ICS 300 or 400. So be aware of that. And in some areas, the clubs handle Aries relationships. In other places, Aries is separate from your club, which it is the case here in Colorado. I happen to be a coordinator for 11 counties here in Colorado, and it's hard to find people that are ready to do the NIMS courses, but only those will help during a real emergency. Now, you don't need those for your public service. So if you want to do a run or a marathon or a parade, you don't need those NIMS. It's fine. If that's all you're interested in doing, help your community and have fun with it. So with that, that's all the questions I have tonight. I didn't have anything for Bob. So sorry, Bob.
Oh, that's okay. We took a good chunk in the beginning with the kids, and I was blown away when I met them at field day. I forgot to mention the teacher that is head of that STEM. You know, you hear about STEM, you don't think much about what is that, and it's science, technology, electronics, and math. And those kids, as you saw, they're very, very smart, and they figured it all out. There was nobody to help them, and their teacher is NR9EM Harvey. And Harvey watches over them to make sure they're not going to burn the place down or hurt themselves. And they didn't, of course. But Harvey's quite a guy. And we're going to have more of those on, because they really have some things going on in Pena, Illinois. So we'll see what happens. Well, I think that's all we have. We've been way over time, but boy, was it worth it. So let's kind of wrap it up here, and we'll see you right back here next week. On Ham Nation, tell your friends, get your club to listen and watch, because there's so much information here. We'll look forward to seeing you right here on Wednesday on Ham Nation. Thank you, Leo Laporte and all at the Twit Network. Victor, thanks for your producing. And we'll say 7-3. Bye-bye for now from K9EID.